Canada. For Rheem hot water heaters, solar, continuous flow and storage hot water, Rheem is Australia's favourite. Install a Rheem.
Welcome to the Sunday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
Yep, at Simmons Stadium today. Looking forward to a big game. Geelong playing Melbourne and Corey Enright, of course, 300 games to join Nan Curvis and Newman. Two great names at the Geelong Football Club. Still to come on 3W on Triple M Football. In fact, Paul Roos will join us a little bit later on. And Matty Keenan, of a cycling genius commentator, is going to be just keeping one of our teammates here honest today, Swatter.
Geez, how long is it going to take you to actually get that out of your system?
I didn't go through with it all. It wasn't a follow-through job.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't an absolute
pull-up.
Like when you know, with a new girlfriend and you call her the different name. You know.
Doesn't go down well, does it?
Doesn't go down well.
It's a bad start. Or you run into a mum for the third time and you call her Doris instead of Shirley and she's kicking you out the door before you've even got in the front door. In fact, you'd know that story very well. Mitch Duncan, the injured cat star, has joined us in the commentary box here, cramped as it is. Mitch, welcome to you. And how's it all travelling, the injury?
Thanks, BT. Yeah, mate, it's come along really nicely, obviously. Very slow process when it comes to feet, so I'll take the cautious approach, but hopefully, you know, around that 6 week mark, or should be back out there. Really look, want to try and get back.
You
for
mean
the job.
Another six, so that would be
So about 10 weeks.
Yeah,
really want to play in Joel's 200th, which is up at GWS. So.
Okay,
on the milestone, it's Corey Enright's 300th today's BT. He said, what sort of an effect do you think we'll have that on the group? Is that something that Chris Scott will mention in any sort of final speech?
Yeah, I reckon it'll definitely get brought up. The skipper will definitely bring it up on the ground just before we, you know, take the first centre bounce. It's been a big build-up during the week. Corey's done a lot of media. It's been out there, which
How's
is not like Corey.
That?
Which is not like Corey at all, but he seems to be lapping up, and I'm sure... he's very proud, as well as we all are, and the whole Geelong community.
Just on Corey Enright, are you one of the fellows who's been to Corey Enright's house and like watched movies with those masks on? Are you a mask wearer? What is his fascination with masks?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very
weird. The first
weird.
I heard of it was when he was talking to Billy Brownless, that interview that he did. So I didn't actually know too much about it.
Well, it could almost be described as kinky.
Well, yeah, not when he's sitting with Rookie. I don't know if he could say that. But yeah, he's a bit... different.
Describe him. Describe Corey Enright from a fellow teammate's point of view.
I was thinking about this morning because I knew I'd be asked about him. Like, I'd just say he's respectful and earns heaps of respect himself as well. Probably one of the guys that I respect mostly at the club. When he speaks, I listen to the 10th degree.
Does he speak much? Is he a guy that puts his thoughts forward in a team meeting? Or?
Yeah, definitely. And the coach always looks for him because he's got so much experience. He's just like the king, really. Like of the footy club, he knows everything, and he's very smart, and I love playing with him.
Mate, we caught a boat together the other night. It was very romantic.
It was, mate.
Got on a little boat
what? Kinky?
On the river. And
where? What river?
Went to the beautiful
the Barwon
river. No, and we went to the State of Origin. What did you think of it?
Yeah, it was great. 91,000 people at the G, cheering on. I was cheering on the Mighty Blues, as you were, Duck.
Yep.
It was good to see them get over the line. But, yeah, it was a great atmosphere for Melbourne, and it just shows when there's top-quality sports on in Melbourne, you know, the fans get there.
It's pretty good when you see it from a Victorian point of view, isn't it, when you get 91,000 or something there. And
well, half the people there would have been Melburnians. So,
yeah, they would have
been. A lot of people there probably don't understand the game as well as they should, Swatter, but they just love their sport.
Yep, they do.
It was and it was a great game because it was free-flowing, open game.
Most disrespectful low-minute silence of all time for Ron Clark, but we won't labour on that point.
We'll
Mitch,
talk about it later, though.
Reece Stanley and Opens. Mark Blitzer, they've revolutionised the way teams are trying to ruck. When you're standing around a stoppage, how on earth do you know who of either Mark Blitzer or Reece Stanley or Mitch Clark are going to go up? Because we got no idea, and the opposition don't know.
There's a bit of communication. Yeah, we do train it, which helps.
Is it a hand signal or?
We got a few little words that we say. A few hand signals.
No, but generally, do you use suburbs or what do you use? What are the cues?
I probably can't say too much, but letters, numbers, names. There's pretty much everything out there.
One,
a few hand signals. Four,
so, just tell me on the ruck thing. I heard last night in the game I was doing on TV. I heard the mic say, the umpire say, "Well, which two of you are going up for the ruck?" Yeah. He wanted to know. they don't have to tell the umpire. You don't have to tell the umpire who's going up, do you?
No, you do. You do. There was one the other night, BT, with Nick Knack. Nick Knack got a free kick the other night because he was blocked.
Yep.
And the umpire got that one wrong because Wayne Campbell brought that up.
Yeah, I did see that one too.
It's been a stunning success, hasn't it, Mitch?
Yeah, it has. And it's really, I suppose, revolutionised the game. Got everyone talking about it and now they want to take it out. So I think it's completely legal, opens up the ground and, takes away that congestion.
Have you been surprised by Mark's development? I mean, it's been a very quick 50 games. He's over 50 games now. He's a steeplechaser, so he didn't have a great deal of exposure to AFL. So at those early stages of Mark's career, could you sort of identify that there was something unique and special about him?
Not really, no. I was thinking, what have we done here? But I knew he could run. I knew he could run. His willingness to learn and was unbelievable. We've kind of got to that stage where it was annoying, where he would keep asking you questions and things like that. So credit to him. He's really shown everyone that his development is, second to none and going to be a really good player for the footy club.
Mitch Duncan, our guest in the box down here at Geelong. Duck.
So just on that, how far behind him are you when you do an 800 or a 1500?
Well, we do a 2K and I'm at least nearly a whole lap.
A whole lap behind him.
Yeah, and I'm probably in the top four.
Does Joel Selwood, I heard Joel Selwood gets very angry because when Lingy was here, Lingy used to beat him, and then Lingy left, he thought, I'm now going to be the number one man, and Blixarves came along, and he's still number two.
Yeah, he did have the mantle, Joel, for maybe a year or two until Blitz come, and we don't even count Blitz anymore.
What does Blitz put between first and second? Who's second?
Joel Selwood. Joel, yeah.
And how much gap?
Yeah. 3/4 of a lap.
Wow.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? So when he lines up now on ball, like surely intra-club games and pre-season, you're playing one another. When he stands next to you, Swatter, and he's 6'8" and 100 kilos, so what he does around that contest, and we talked about Nick Knack being that sort of versatile player that just sort of opens room up for your on-ballers, but then to know that there is no way, because when you're playing on a player like that, Or he's tagging you. So let's say he goes to Pendlebury. You say, how am I going to beat this bloke? Okay, he's 6'8". I'll run him off his leg. Well, you can't do that.
No.
So you simply, if he's tagging someone or running with someone, there is no possible way you can get away from him, BT.
So Mitch, in the private life, boyfriend, girlfriend, married, single, what do you got?
Girlfriend, BT.
Girlfriend, and is that a long-term? Is that just a sort of a...
Yeah, it's about 3 years now.
Okay.
So
going steady.
Steady, mate. Yeah. Live with her. So
yeah, she's a Geelong girl.
Bowen Heads, originally.
Yeah. Okay, well, Bowen Heads probably more likely than not got a bit of dosh. Down at Bowen Heads, there's a bit of old money down there.
Well, you probably know his father, Jeff Moore. So
Joffa.
You'd probably
right. Yeah,
did you play with him?
No, I missed him, but I'm very good mates of Banksy, a good friend of his.
Okay.
Yep. And knew Joffa quite well. Yeah, he's a good fella.
Mitch, we're talking earlier about Patrick Dangerfield. We're all expecting him to go to Geelong. Would you be disappointed if Patrick Dangerfield says to Adelaide, I want out to the Cats, they've made a free agency offer, and the Crows said to Dangerfield, no, we're going to match that, we're going to block it. As a player, as an AFLPA member, do you think that's in the spirit of free agency? I mean, Dangerfield's given 8 years of service at the Crows, been a champion. He says he wants out to the Cats, and they stop him.
Well, it's a bit of a hard question. I suppose it hasn't happened as of yet. I wouldn't be disappointed because it's his decision, it's a previous club. But, it's hard to speculate and comment because you don't know what he's going to do.
But in the spirit of free agency as a player, it was set up for you guys so you could change clubs. And he's a player like Buddy Franklin, like Goddard. They say, right, 8 years service, I've been a good player for your club, I'm out. And then Adelaide match it and stop it. Like, is that in that can't be in the spirit of free agency. That's not what you guys set up to create.
Yeah, it probably isn't. But yeah, I honestly don't really know too much about free agency
Mitch
because
doesn't
been there
want to get involved.
No,
with
that's
any
fair enough.
Dangerfield stuff.
Trying to suck him in, trying to give him an answer.
This is from a Geelong supporter,
well,
Jay-Z.
The Geelong people out there want to know. They want to know whether Selwood and Dangerfield are going to team up next year because you had Henderson, you maybe had Scott Selwood. And you got a serious premiership
Mitch
contender.
Mitch clearly
right
doesn't
there
give a stuff about the free agency.
What I want to know, Joel Selwood spoke about it a little bit during the week and said that there's obviously Joel's the captain. He's the best player at the club. Would you be disappointed if the Cats said to Dangerfield, "He's $1 million a year"?
Ooh. Yeah, I probably would be a little bit disappointed because I don't think the club would do that, firstly. And I think the way it's been handled, as in, like, for previous 10 years, and it's got a lot of success from the club's point of view, I don't think they would do that.
There's a pecking order at Geelong.
Yeah, you've had a solid structure, haven't
you?
Yeah,
and I don't think they'll throw that structure out the window for a player. So I think the club's going to come first.
Hey, Mitch, did you happen to see the Bryce Gibbs tackle on Robbie Gray yesterday?
I did see that,
I don't want you to talk about that particular incident. Do you think as a player we need to make an adjustment to the tackling techniques of the modern-day players so that we limit head-high contact? Because to a man here, Jay-Z's of the view that that should go to the tribunal immediately.
I don't like
Duck, myself and BT as former players think that's a great tackle, well executed. What's your position on
that? I thought it was fair and just unlucky, to be honest.
Exactly.
You kind of, in saying that, you do know, I guess, when you've got someone pinned, but I don't think he meant to put him off on a stretcher like Bryce has said. So I still think that's just the unlucky incident.
Yep, the unlucky element of our game.
Exactly.
You were unlucky, Mitch, because you were absolutely flying.
He was.
Before your injury, you were absolutely feeling pretty good about your footy when that happened.
Yeah, I was just turned the corner. I had a bit of a slow start and since the Richmond game, then we played Collingwood and leading into Sydney, I really felt like I'd turned the corner a little bit. Really started to get my hands on the ball and impacting the games the way I wanted to, and I guess the club wanted me to as well. And then, unfortunately, just went down at the wrong time, I guess. And lucky enough, that was my first injury and did a little bump on the road.
Well, best of luck with it, Mitch, and we appreciate you coming in to join us today. And if you do, you know, get home late with the daughter of Milesy, and you've done something wrong, mate. He can go, and he will just go bang, and you won't even know it's there at the front door. And he will just he's pretty good with his hands, as you would know. But very, very impressive. Appreciate you joining us in the box today. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks, guys.
Jay-Z, I might just ask you about Lee Adams. We saw him make a bit of a comeback there from the concussion, and he was thinking about retirement prior to that. What's the latest?
Well, it was a compelling interview on Channel 7, your program, BT, where he said exactly that he was thinking about retiring after his fifth concussion, I believe it was, in about a year. Well, as we know, last weekend, he had another hit in the head. It was an innocuous knock to the back of the head from Levi Greenwood, his former teammate. And again, afterwards, he gets concussed. He felt dizzy. He feels groggy. He feels not right for a couple of days. Now, we don't want to be flippant about this because he is having the best sort of neurological care and treatment and assessments. And you don't want to rush into these sorts of things. But our information from the people around him who care about him greatly is that he is likely to giving serious consideration to retiring, which is a real shame for one of the most popular blokes down there at North Melbourne, who I said has had five or six concussions in a year, Duck, and now he's really set to bow out of the game. And if that was sad. You, Duck, five or six concussions in a year, that's too many.
Absolutely. He's got to sit down and think about his future.
Yeah.
Not his football future, his future.
Nah, he should give it away.
Yeah, well and truly after footy.
You're suspecting that he will give it away, Jay-Z?
That's my mark at the moment, that if he's calling it now, that's the way he's leaning.
Yeah, it's shocking stuff, as you say there, Duck. Let's get over to Paul Roos, coach of the Melbourne Football Club. They've got a big game here, and he's on the boundary now. Roosy, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
No worries, boys.
Beautiful day. Not a lot of wind here. What have you will you go out and talk to the players about the conditions on this ground and how to play it, or have you already done that pre-week?
Yeah, a little bit, because it's so narrow, I guess. It's long and narrow, and generally there's a bit of breeze, so probably helps us that's not windy, because they do play the game pretty well, and particularly when it's breezy down here or wet and rainy. So, yeah, we've already touched on it. Probably just more that kick. You can see more balls going out of bounds on the field here than you're doing in any ground in Australia. So that's the one you've got to be aware of, that it is skinny and you can't really go too wide, otherwise it ends up over the fence.
No, I think you've answered my question, Roosie. It's more about owning the corridor this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. We think we've been playing okay in that regard, and we've certainly been more attacking, but part of it is when you're trying to do the both things, you turn the ball over a bit, so you open yourself up to scoring. But that's where we're at the moment. We've just got to try and score some more, and sometimes that releases the opposition if it's a bad kick, but we're encouraging our guys to do it and try and get it through the corridor a bit and try and use our numbers and get the ball in our forward 50 a bit more often.
Hey, Roosie, if it's a close game, can you just go and put yourself at centre-half-back and stand in the hole and at the other end, if they've got a loose, can you go out and really spoil the ball and make sure it comes to ground?
Yeah.
Are you bemused by the fact that everyone's having a say about what you should or shouldn't be doing?
Yeah, look, I guess you leave yourself open to ridicule, don't you, as a coach? So, look, you expect that, and I accept it. Look, we're educating our players, and sometimes they get educated quicker and some are a bit slower. But we've got a young team, and part of the learning is, you know, what they do in those situations. I think I said, look, from a coaching point of view, we've probably just got to make sure we're a bit clearer in our instructions and we get it done better.
Roosie, it's a Jay Clark here. Your old mate Matty Lloyd, hard-hitting columnist for the ages, pulled no punches. His first part of his column today, it says Paul Ruse is out of form. Just look at the way he's coached against Collingwood and St Kilda. What's your take on that? Do you feel out of form as a coaching group?
Well, I think you take responsibility. You know, I mean, we're not immune to criticism. I think that's pretty clear when
how
you see Mick Malthus.
How many games has Lloydie coached?
But I mean, part of it is. You know, you're trying to communicate and teach the players and, you know, I can take responsibility. If we're telling them and they're not listening, it's still my responsibility. So I don't think any coach has abdicated the responsibility because ultimately I haven't seen 44 players sacked, but I've seen plenty of coaches sacked. So, look, we need to do a better job, I think, of acknowledge that. Certainly we tried to communicate to our players last week as we did the week before, but it just didn't work. So, the coaches have really had a good think about how we can do it better, and we hope to do it better.
Roosie, Jesse Hogan's been sensational this season, leading out from the goal square. He's not in your team today. How are we going to structure differently?
Yeah, we brought the second ruckman in because Jesse, you know, gives us a chance to go one-on-one top of the square. So I think we brought our second ruckman in, which we haven't done all year. So they're the things, they're the challenges when you've got injuries as a coach. You've got to try and find different ways to try and score. So for us today, it's Max Gorn and Jake, and, you know, at least giving us some presence at the top of the goal square, at least give some confidence to the players going forward. Obviously, Chris Dawes comes back in, and we believe he's a good forward as well. So Howie's been pretty good down there, as Jeff Gartlett. So, yeah, it's probably that one position that Hogs has occupied a bit of the top of the goal square that we need to make sure that there's representation there.
Hey, Roosie, really important that they're smart in that forward line, though. They've got to isolate because we know that Rivers, Enright, Taylor, so good at intercept marks, so good at playing off their opponents.
Yeah, and there's no question about that. I mean, Duck, we need smart forwards. You can't go to dumb spots against Geelong because they're so good at going back to the ball. They really read the ball well. And Corey Enright is playing his 300th game today. He's probably the best in the competition still at the moment. So we've really got to, we've got to occupy their defenders and make sure that when we are going forward, our forwards are getting to smart spots.
Jimmy Tumpas, a highly rated draft pick. Roosie, he's coming up for game number 26. He's been in and out of the team over the last couple of years. What does Jimmy need to do in order to elevate himself to that next level of footy player?
Yeah, I think his last 2 weeks have been really, really positive, and that probably sets the scene for his career. If he can play really hard running play, he played on Montagna last week and did a really good job for sort of 2.5 quarters. We put him on, I think, late in the second quarter. So just be a really good two-way hard running midfielder. And when he did that last week and the week before, we feel he's played his two best games in a row. And look, he really showed that against the Bulldogs as well. I think he kicked 2 goals, had 20-odd possessions. So just getting that balance right. Young players tend to come in and they do find the ball, but, you know, it's such a tougher environment coming from junior football, a lot of more contested football, two-way running, a lot harder. Obviously, it's a lot more physical and as well as the energy you need to expend while you're trying to track someone down and tackle them and all those sorts of things. So, look, I think it's been really positive for him. He's trending in the right direction.
How did he respond mentally after the goal, the St Kilda loss?
Yeah, I spoke to him a number of times this week, and probably my last message is, you know, obviously you know you've done something wrong, but don't let that stunt your development. You know, we felt he had a really good game last week and a really good battle at the end of the day. You know, he knows he did the wrong thing, so you don't have to sort of kick him while they're down. And so my last conversation with him was, you know, put it out of your mind, learn from it, and then make sure, you know, you continue the development, and we're looking forward to how he does respond today.
Appreciate your time, Roosie. Be able to jump up in that coach's box where you look straight into the sun, mate. It'll be perfect for you.
On the boundary on the other side of the ground.
Nice
thanks,
work.
Guys. Good on you.
Thanks a lot. Paul Ruse joining us there, giving us a couple of moments of his time, which we thoroughly appreciate indeed. A couple of more issues. Yes, JT?
Well, I want to ask you about one BT. Ben Reid, he's on the verge of his comeback for Collingwood. We know he's had a nightmare run with the soft tissue problems. If in your mind, do you think about Collingwood's final side? So, say Collingwood's going to play an elimination final this year. Where is Ben Reid in that team,
This is what I think about Ben Reid at the moment. I think the team is doing really well, and they've done it without him. And I think that's the way they need to look at Ben Reid. So if you get Ben Reid to play on your side, that's an absolute bonus, right? That's just some icing on the cake. but don't count on him to be there long term.
So he's finished.
Don't count on him to be there grand final day. No, I'm just saying he has a lot of injuries. So I'm saying when you've got him and you've got him in the team, this is fantastic. It's like eating a chocolate eclair instead of, you know, Lamington made by your wife. it's a lot better. And, you know, so just enjoy it for what it is. That is the way Ben Reed is. And he'll get injured again. There's nothing surer. He'll get injured. He's had a bad history. But he's also an extremely good player. And if he's fit and up and going, he's in their 18.
Where's he playing, forward or back?
Wherever you want him. Wherever you need him at the time. And that's a good thing about Ben Reed coming to this side now, is they haven't had to rely on Ben Reed. And now they can put him where they need him. Rather than, you know, be
exactly
pinned to
right.
an area.
And with Brown only played 3 games last year. He's played 10 or 11 already this year. So they've got that defender. So if he was to come back,
Frost,
they could throw him forward, because White is patchy, to say.
That second foil a la Chris Dawes when he was playing with Travis Cloke. That could be his role.
For what it's worth, I reckon with Ben Reed, you just hope like hell he doesn't get injured for the rest of the year. If he gets 5, 6, 7 games underneath his belt without injury, you think bonus. Focus on what he can give you next year, because as BT said, he's missed a stack of footy. He's had a lot of injuries. Mate, if he can give you some output, he's not going to be the game breaker or the game winner on many occasions. Just get him through and hopefully he gets some continuity.
So you can't rely on him. You can't count on him.
Talk about Rant. So, you know, like I see that he's committed to a 4-year deal, was it? Boy, did he play you guys on a
break.
What
do you mean, Brian?
Rants.
He was seriously thinking about packing the bags and going backpacking.
No, he wasn't. He just didn't want to have this stigma of another club threatening to go to another club. So he said, no. Him and his manager got together over a coffee and they said, let's trot out the I'm going to go off camping for a year. I'm going to go up the Jabiroo. I'm going to get in my four-wheel drive and tow a trailer, and we'll sell that as what's going to happen. And therefore, the club will come flocking with more dollars because they won't want to see me out of the game. He is fading. This is one of the greatest cons of all time. If I hear one more time that Alex Rance is going to go up the Rhine on a ferry or camping out to Jabiroo or Jibiroo, it is gibberish to think that he was going anywhere. And how's this? So insistent was his manager and himself that he was going to, you know, go off and play tiddlywinks instead of football. And he changes from that. This is the thing. So he changes from, I'm going off camping and I'm going to, you know, the Billy and the whole thing's going to be there, and me and my wife are going to enjoy that and, you know, going to do all that sort of stuff. Then he says, nah, stuff it. I'll sign for 4 years. Not 1 year, and we'll give it a go. He signed for 4 years. He has absolutely got up us all.
On 750, I think. So it's a 4-year deal worth about $3.2 million.
It is unreal.
So $750,000.
Jay-Z, what do you know about a double game on Friday nights, maybe in the ensuing years?
Next broadcast deal, which is the end of
what
next
does it
season.
Mean?
Well, it means that you play an earlier game, say in Adelaide at 6 o'clock, right? And then you go into a second Friday night game at 9 o'clock in Melbourne. And we watch footy for 6 hours in that prime time spot. It makes Channel 7 more money. It makes the AFL more money. And
do they need that extra spot if they go with Thursdays as the option, rather than to have just 4 Thursday night games? They might have one every week.
Yeah, that's why I think it's going to be a bit of a balance. It's not going to be something that you'll see every round, but I reckon we'll start to see a bit of a trial where then we might see 3 or 5, even maybe 7 games a season, I should say, in the next broadcast deal, and we'll just eat up 6 hours of footy on a Friday night, Brian, and you'll be doubly as busy, you too, Ducker, on a Friday night.
Will the next broadcast rights look remarkably different to what this existing one does? In other words, will viewers out there notice the difference?
I don't think it's going to be a massive change, but you might see Channel 10 have an extra game. You might see more games on the internet. So you're logging onto afl.com.au to watch a game, and there's extra sort of features where you're seeing GPS numbers and that sort of stuff. So I think largely it'll be the same, with a few extra bells and whistles to generate the extra cash that'll hopefully allot the AFL, you know, $1.7 billion, which is just a massive figure, and it keeps the clubs afloat, the 9 or 10 of them who are making a loss each season.
Our man Jay-Z might have just recovered from the howl.
Yeah, I think so.
He put up in the first
took him an hour and a half
today. Yeah, he might have just recovered.
From winning a premiership with North Melbourne to a best and fairest with the Sydney Swans, Wayne Swass is an AFL legend.
Ready, Swatter?
I hope so, Matty.
And now he's a mammal. Swatter, it's hot lap time. Coming up in the bike lane.
This was unbelievable. I watched my TV at about 5 o'clock on a Sunday last week, and the fast lane on SBS. I just happened to be watching Matty Keenan, who's one of the best cycling commentators in the world, without any doubt. And then I heard him announce our buddy here, Wayne Swass, as the guest on the show that night. Matty Keenan joins us on the line. Matty, appreciate your time.
My pleasure, BT. I've got a quick question for you.
Yes.
What happened to your weight on the scales when you retired? Up or down?
It went up just slightly. Still just going a little up.
What has gone down? A long way down.
Oh, it's now, come on.
Split half if you tried to grab the football now.
Now, Matty, you're the host of this show, the Fast Lane SBS on at 5 o'clock on
the
Sundays.
The bike lane, Brian.
The bike lane, sorry, on Sundays on SBS. And Swatter's got to do a hot lap, not unlike what they do on Top Gear. Yep. How did he go in the hot lap?
He went really well, but he's turned up. I reckon he's running about 6 or 7% body fat. He's been training his ring out up Mount Macedon. And he got there, we said 11 o'clock, Swatter, make sure you're there. He got there at about 4:15, dripping with sweat because he's been doing laps, getting ready to rock and roll. He said, right, I'm ready to go. He was all prepared. He had his entourage. It was like Mark Philippoussis turned up. There were that many people to watch him.
It was unbelievable, our own Wayne Swass. Hey, by the way, Matty, I'm admiring your work from afar, and you know that I love when you're on, and the Tour de France to come up, the Giro just completed, we see Contador win that. I see he won something else overnight again. What can we expect to see in the Tour de France coming up shortly in terms of the three or four guys that might be at the top end come the final day?
I think Contador might be too tired winning the Giro d'Italia.
Really?
The guy to watch is a young Colombian by the name of Nuttall Quintana. When this guy first rode the Tour, he finished second. He rode the Tour for the last year and he won it. When he won this really lead-up race for juniors in France, the national president of Colombia hosted a party for him. How big do you reckon the party will be in Colombia if he wins the Tour de France? Oh, they know how to let their hair down.
They have been absolutely unbelievable over there. And just any potential at all for Wayne Swass to join one of the major, you know, Sky or BMC or someone, Matty, or not?
As a mascot.
Righto, Matty, thanks for joining us.
Love your work, Swatter. Now, Matty, he did really well, actually, to put it in context. He's got the second fastest time.
Yeah.
The guy that has got the fastest time is about 6 years younger than Swatter, and he races A-grade club level. Because
really?
The guy that's got the actual fastest, we've taken him out of the ball game because that's not fair. Robbie McEwen's been the fastest, and over 1 kilometre, he was 10 seconds slower than Wayne Swass. No, I mean faster, I should say. Okay. 10 seconds faster. Wow. So Robbie goes okay.
Need a roving reporter in France next month. Matty?
I've had a few offers for the bag packing as well.
Hey, Matty, just want to know something. Why do you only get to go till about 10:30 on the tour, and then Leggett and the other
Paul
boys,
Sherwin.
Paul Sherwin, take over, and they just cut your lunch like there's no tomorrow, and you just wander off? Can't you get rid of Sherwin and you could slot in there, or Leggett?
You should see how good the VIP tent is. I'm happy to trundle off at about 2:30 local time in France. Now, what happens is I do the international commentary, so it doesn't just come into Australia.
Right.
New Zealand, America, the UK, South Africa, Middle East, etc. And I'm on NBC in the US, and I'm on when they're live streaming. But once they switch to the TV, they get rid of the Australian accent and bring the POMs in. But the more boring the stage is, the longer I commentate. As soon as there's a bit of action, Phil and Paul bump me out of the way.
Very, very nice work. We look forward to seeing your good work when the tour comes up, Matty, but particularly this afternoon at 5 o'clock on SBS, once again, that fabulous show that Swatter featured on last week. Appreciate your time and good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Matty Keenan is doing
a
wonderful job. He's
he'll get
the star
it when
of the cycling
Phil Liggett walks away, whenever that is.
What about your get-up, Swatter?
Yeah, what about you in the Sky
Ryan,
Lycra?
We had you
mammal.
In Lycra a couple of weeks ago, and it's not a good look.
Wouldn't wear a paint in the house.
Time now for...
This is Wayne Carey's Duck Shit.
So we asked Duck just a few questions to find out what's going on. Port Adelaide Pretenders, Duck?
I don't think they'll make the eight now, BT.
You don't think they'll get there?
No, they're too far back for mine and not playing good enough footy.
Did Richmond undo all of their good work the other day against the West Coast Eagles because they were getting on a bit of a run?
They were. By probably came at the wrong time for the Tigers. I don't think so. I still think they're a good team. They should have been beaten by more. So I think they're okay, the Tigers.
West Coast the real deal?
They are. They've had a very good. They've got had a good draw, Swatter. As simple as that. And they've got a lot of games to play at home. Are they a real deal against the good sides? Well, we don't know that yet.
If Freo get to the prelim, should they play Ryan Crowley?
No.
No?
Is Ryan Crowley
too long out of the game, BT. So I don't think you just come in.
Right.
Come
for a
in,
player of that ilk. Yeah, or for right. any player, really.
Will Fremantle recontract him?
You know what? He's given the club a great deal of service. He's an impeccable guy. He's made a wrong error of judgment. And should he be given? I'd love him to be given another. Will he be given another opportunity? I don't know. Would I like him to be? Yes. Because I hate for anyone to leave the game under any sort of circumstance like that and not be given the opportunity to, I guess, you know, show everyone that what he can do and finish in the right manner.
Name a better all-round defender than Corey Enright, Duck.
Well, Oshwater, I gave this a bit of thought during the week. I think there's two that stack up with him. And I think Ben Hart from the Crows as a half-back back pocket, the same as Enright. And I think of Guy McKenna from West Coast. I think they're the only two that come into his level in the modern game, AFL game.
What should John Barker's goal for the rest of the year be at Carlton?
I think he summed it up, just to be competitive. I don't think they expect to win too many games, but they'll pinch a couple of wins before the end of the season.
Hey, by the way, did you ever go to hospital in the back of an ambulance with a dislocated or sore shoulder?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
I jumped
think so.
In the ambo.
I don't know, did I? I can't remember.
Nick Robinson style, you went in the ambulance.
I don't know whether I went in the ambulance. I can't remember.
It's soft.
Hey, Duck, North Melbourne's moved to sign Jared Waite last year's cost Aaron Black a spot and maybe his career at North Melbourne. What do you make of Aaron Black?
Simple. He's sadly, he's been out of form, and I think he's been out of form for a little while. So, and it's not, I don't think it's a physical thing, because I think physically, he's a very good athlete. He's quick. He's good above his head. He's good on the ground. So I think he can play. Right now, it's just a lack of confidence. So it's above the shoulders for me. And let's be honest, it's not about weight. If you're good enough, you're playing in the team.
Does it surprise you that Wayne Swass has the second fastest time on Fast Lap on SBS on 5 o'clock on Sundays with Matty Keenan, and he's become a real cyclist?
It's surprising because he didn't like training, Swatter. Wasn't the hardest of trainers, mind you. When he got out on the park, ran like a cut cat, but training wise, didn't like it. And look at those little pins. Yeah. How do they push anything around? Wouldn't push a scooter around.
If I said to you, Mark Howard goes to the gym a lot, what would you say?
Well, I know that he does, but I tell you what, I walked past Howie before and I got a paper cut.
Yes.
That's how big Howie is.
Is it true that Tim McGrath really had the upper hand in your battles against you?
Bluey, out of all respect for Bluey, Bluey's a great man. He actually did it okay one day down here, the first time we played on one another. I think I only had 18 and kicked 3, and so we did okay on that day. From that time on, Bluey had to be moved off on a number of occasions.
Just a farm update, because we all know that you bought a farm a few weeks back.
I'll tell you what, I put up the new shelving, and I've got the DeWalt tools just hanging there nicely, about
Very
to do
good.
some work
of
up
course,
there.
Of course, what we also know is that you ended up buying the wrong property and that you should be buying mine. But you've hung some DeWalt stuff up in the garage?
Yeah, I've got the DeWalt stuff
so
up.
So what's
I've
the next had, stage
okay,
of the
I've had
Kerry
some farm. Some concreting done. Now I've got to get out the big pressure washer and spray off all the swallow.
Fair to say,
no,
spray.
He's light on
that
in this area, Brian.
No idea.
You could go with the Karcher.
The big, I've got to spray off some bird poop.
Hot washer?
Yes,
the big hot washer. Fair to say that he's got no idea on the farm.
None whatsoever.
Duck, if you were to score Steve Motlop out of 10 as a football player, what would you give him right now?
Ooh. Right now?
Out of nowhere?
Probably a 7.
He's a 7 out of 10 player.
Why did you ask that question?
because he's out of contract and he might not be here next year. He'd be maybe ranked 30th in Geelong's best and fairest at the moment, and he's asking for decent money, BT.
Blake Carosello leading the team down there.
When I look at the glass half full,
I think
at his best, and when he's playing consistent footy, he's a 7.
Aside from Ross Lyon and Alistair Clarkson, is Adam Simpson the coach of the year to this point?
Well, I'd have to agree with that. I think he really is. If before the weekend, you'd say Hardwick's certainly been very good and a coach that's under pressure. But Adam Simpson and what he's done with this group, considering the injuries that they've had, quite remarkable.
So you could go with the headline that Duck doesn't rate yep. Ross Lyon or Alistair Clarkson.
No, we said aside from those guys,
BT.
Right.
You've got to listen to the questions.
Finally,
last one.
Finally, on Paul Roos, is he out of form, as Lloydie says, as a coach?
Oh. No. I'd say what Paul Roos is a genius. I love him.
I think
he's a great coach.
Jay-Z, you're always looking
light
for...
on for articles
just
tomorrow.
Just an edge. You're looking for a story instead of... Look at him, he's down, he's out today.
Take a photo of this browbeaten journo.
We have hammered
that
him
we
today.
Have just given it to all afternoon.
Yeah. All right, it's time now for Tell Me Something I Don't Already Know, Jay-Z. This is a chance for you to pull yourself out of the doldrums and tell us something that we don't know. We haven't seen, heard, read, or... Yeah, that'll do.
Okay. Port Adelaide, we know that they're out of form at the moment. They've had some big hits on the recruiting front in recent years. Matty White, Jared Polek, and Paddy Ryder last year. Just a little bit of form out of form at the moment.
Yeah.
But I can tell our loyal Triple M listeners that a man we are watching today by the name of Jimmy Tumpas and a first-round draft pick by the name of Sam Mays, as well as James Aisha up there at the Lions as well, will... have the chance and a decent contract offer to go to Port Adelaide next year to bolster their outside running stock. So Jimmy Tumpas from Melbourne, Sam Mays, another Brisbane Lion, as well as James Aish, will be enticed to come to Port Adelaide next year.
Okay, so what have you got, Swatter?
Well, BT, the Cats have done a lot of things really well, not only on the field, but off the field. They've got the redevelopments. We're about to get this area that we're standing in redeveloped sometime next year, and they're a club that does a lot of good things. As a footy club, the car park's out the back. The public car parks, they pay money. You know what they do with that money? They don't invest it back into this football club.
What do they do with it?
They actually gave a cheque just under $50,000 last year, Brian.
This is as weak as I've ever
back
heard.
Back to
tell me something
the local junior football clubs. And that is a terrific initiative that I think they do really well.
You've come here not even thinking about it today.
I had no.
I've just got a quick little one. A well-known personality, perhaps ejected from a major spot in Melbourne. That's all I can say.
What?
Move on.
Hey,
no,
hang
on, what do you got?
Hang on a minute.
No, that's all I've got.
Media a major figure? Personality.
Ejected
from a spot.
A major personality.
What does he works
ejected
in the industry?
Is he
a Juno? Is he a football identity?
Spot. Anyway, so we'll move on. Duck, what have you got for us today?
AFL identity may have a few concerns, sort of with the paparazzi.
Okay, AFL identity, a few concerns with the paparazzi. Not the footy paparazzi, because we don't have a Do we have a paparazzi in the footy?
We sort of.
And dodgy.
But that's it. That's all
right
I want to say on that.
All right. So
BT and Duck have both gone with really sort of non-committal
because,
sort of tell me
that's
something.
That's because the male's that
well,
good.
Hang on. It's tell you something you don't know, and we...
Told you something you don't know.
There's a lot of big personalities and media people.
Yep, there are.
40 personalities.
No one said we had to mention
names.
Or clubs or anything like that. So there it is. That's Tell Me Something I Don't Know for another week.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.